Hello, this is David Getoff, and this discussion, actually it's not a discussion, it's a lecture because you're just listening to me talking, is to try and give you accurate information that will help you to understand a lot of facts that you're not being given having to do with DNA testing. In other words, going in and having your blood tested to see whether your DNA, according to currently recognized research, because it keeps on changing, indicates that you have a higher risk of all sorts of different things. Higher risks of cardiovascular disease, higher risks of cancer, higher risks of diabetes. They keep on adding more tests, and then later they find out some of them weren't as accurate as they thought, and they change them. But basically, it's getting me very angry as I watch the results my patients, my students, the public, the media, when they interview people to ask their reactions to having gotten different tests done. It's getting me very upset to watch what's going on. So that's the reason for this this recording. First of all, DNA testing is still in its infancy, and all of the scientists will freely admit that, although you often don't hear that added when they talk about DNA testing in the media. So know that it is in its infancy. And maybe 10 years from now, we'll know a lot more. But the things that I'm going to talk about that I don't like will probably continue even as we know more. So there's a couple of different reasons that somebody will get a DNA test done. One is because they are interested in knowing if they have a greater risk, according to what is currently known, for one of these diseases, some type of cancer, heart disease, diabetes, etc., etc. Second is they never thought about it at all, but their doctor said we should get this test done to find out. Third is they read something about it and are not sure whether they should or shouldn't, and they figure, well, what the heck, let's get it done. It'll give me more information and it will help me, which it may or may not. And another one, which is actually similar to one of the others, is that you need a test done. You don't need it. You decide to get a test done, or your doctor decides to do the test on you, for specific types of nutritional DNA research. In other words, it's not whether you're more likely to get a disease, but it's whether or not, let's use folic acid as an example, it's whether or not your body is less able to convert folic acid, which we get in our nutritional supplements, into 5-methyltetrahydrofolate, which is the form in which your cells use it. And if, in fact, somebody is deficient in folic acid, many people are, and if they think that they're getting enough because it's in their multivitamin or their extra folic acid tablet, and they're taking maybe 1,000 micrograms, which is 1 milligram of extra folic acid, which for most people is adequate, but that because of a gene mutation, usually called a SNP, single nuclear polymorphism, if one of those genes necessary for the conversion of the folic acid in their supplement into the form it needs in the cell is turned off, or if both of the SNPs are turned off, then they may be able to convert less or much less than other people that don't have that gene mutation, and therefore they want to know that, because since folic acid is a vitamin and therefore required for long-term health, they might have to purchase a special form of folic acid, such as 5-MTHF, where it's already been converted, to make sure they get enough. So these are all various different reasons that people might get testing. So why am I so upset with this? I am upset because of the often had results that occur after somebody gets tested. The test itself doesn't bother me. I know it's not super accurate. I know that there's something called epigenetics, which you should all look up and read about, which means that the genetics are not definite. We can turn genes on and off with vitamins, minerals, sunlight, laughter, all sorts of different ways. That's the field of epigenetics, and I suggest you read some of the books on epigenetics so you can actually turn genes on and off. It's not like that's it. That is not it. You might be able to turn it on or off. But that's not what gets me really, really angry, although that's part of it, because somebody says this is definitive and they don't realize the field of epigenetics says we can turn things on and off. What gets me upset is things such as, and let's give a specific example. Let's give the specific example of an actress recently, Angelina Jolie, who publicly, so that everybody could know she was doing this, and I'm sure she probably, I'm not sure, probably got paid a whole bunch of money to make this public, because that will help physicians and hospitals make gigantic amounts of money doing this surgery on other people, because, hey, if Angelina Jolie will do it, obviously it's a good idea. Wrong. But in any event, she had a double mastectomy recently as to now. I'm doing this at the beginning of June in 2013. If you're listening to this years from now, it won't be recently anymore. And her genetic testing showed that she had a higher than normal genetic risk factor, predisposition, whatever you wish to use, for breast cancer. And because of that, she decided, well, she would avoid the breast cancer by having her breasts removed. There's a big problem with that, and this is the idea, and this is true of a lot of other diseases as well, that gets me so upset. So let me go over this a little. Pardon me if I'm being more wordy than you wish. That's the way I educate. So first of all, I spend $10,000 to $15,000 a year going to medical nutritional conferences, scientific conferences. Sometimes I'm going as an attendee. Sometimes I'm going because they're paying me to come in and lecture. And I've listened to many of the genetics scientists, the PhDs, MD-PhDs, who are doing the genetics research. And when they are asked how much of an increase in the likelihood that somebody's going to get something, does it mean you have, if the genetic test says you have a genetic predisposition for something? And they continually tell us that it is not totally known, it depends on a lot of things, but it means you got a 5 to 8 or a 5 to 10 or some have said a 5 to 12% increased risk of whatever that might be. Well, that's not a very big increased risk, but it's definitely there. But then they go further, and this is very important. They say that it doesn't ever mean you're going to get the disease. Never means that. For example, the first gene that was discovered having to do with cancer was many years ago. I believe it was the breast cancer gene. And after discovering it, they then did that testing on a large number of people who had had breast cancer. And only 10% of them had the gene. So in other words, it wouldn't have been properly predictable for 90% of the people in that particular study. But what they tell us is diet and lifestyle. In other words, what you eat and what nutrients and supplements you take and how much stress you put yourself under and whether you are not getting enough sunlight, and sun is good for us, not getting enough clean air, you sit inside all day, have a lot of electromagnetic radiation around you, you're in front of your computer all day long and you don't have things far enough away from you. You live in an office where they spray the office or the home for ants or roaches, you know, once a month. They clean your area with chlorine and ammonia, and when you come in you can smell the cleaning solvents. These are all risk factors for cancer, because we know these are all cancer-causing agents. Not all of them, but most of the ones I just mentioned. Certainly the chemicals. And so what the geneticists, the research scientists tell us is if you have two groups and they're both doing similar things, so their diet and lifestyle are similarly moderate, let's say, and one group has a gene for something, then that group has a, let's say, 5 to 12% higher likelihood of getting the gene. Here's where it gets very interesting and very important. They then say, however, because diet and lifestyle have been clearly shown, and this is the field of epigenetics, to greatly influence both the turning on and off of genes and the likelihood of existing predispositions actually occurring, if you took the same group of people, let's say, pick a number, 1,000 people, and they're all about equal, except 500 of them have a gene that says they have a higher risk for some condition, and the other 500 don't. And you take the 500 that have the gene for a higher risk of whatever condition it is we're talking about, because it could be any, so it doesn't matter, and we teach those people that diet and lifestyle has a lot of effects on that condition as far as reducing your risk. And we teach them what they need to change in their diet and lifestyle. So maybe they need to take more vitamin C and more vitamin E. Maybe they need to not eat so many fruits and grains and starches and alcohols, because those all turn right into sugar in your body and depress your immune function. Maybe they need to eat more of the good fats that we now know are good fats, such as the fats on grass-fed beef and pastured chicken and the egg yolks in pastured chicken and ghee and organic grass-fed butter and coconut oil and palm kernel oil and olive oil. And they need to avoid the fats that have been shown to be damaging, even though it's not getting out to the public very well, such as canola oil, which is genetically engineered fat, cottonseed oil, because the cotton is heavily sprayed, sesame oils, and a couple of others, because they're usually pressed at too high temperatures, corn oils. They need to avoid those. And so they're taught these things. And they start eating more of the right fats, less of the bad fats. They change some things in their house and start using less toxic cleansers. They switch over to toothpastes that don't have cancer-causing agents in them. So in other words, they get rid of the fluoride in their toothpaste and the sodium lauryl sulfate and the methylene propylparaben, and they get a healthier toothpaste. If the people that have the genetic predisposition for a condition start doing things that will help reduce their risk, that has so much effect that they are now at a lower risk of getting that disease than the group that didn't have the gene and hasn't made any changes. And that's very important. If you don't understand what I just said, rewind this MP3 for 5 minutes and listen to that part again. Now let's go back to Angelina Jolie so I can give a specific comment. There are a couple of things that we know for sure. Very often the doctors don't mention them to people, and maybe the doctor doesn't even know because he's not an immunologist that does research. But nonetheless, these are very well researched. I don't just go off at the mouth and say things just because. I'm giving you information that is documented, proven, or has been said by many scientists that I listen to at the conferences I go to. And that is that if you cut the human body, that could be you just cut your finger. That could be you fell down when you were on a ladder and you scraped your arm up real bad. Or it could be a severe cut. In other words, we're really hurting a lot of tissue, such as a double mastectomy. You have just greatly reduced immune function. In addition to that, you're adding poisons to this mix. You're bringing in antibiotics so that we don't get infection as the breast tissue is healing after they've been removed. You're bringing in analgesics or painkillers so that you can even do this surgery. You may be bringing in anti-inflammatories to reduce the tremendous inflammation. So we're bringing in two or three drugs. Drugs are always toxic, even if they're doing good things that we need. In addition to having a major amount of tissue damage, otherwise known as surgery. We had one surgeon in one of the medical conferences I went to. He put it very distinctly. He said, as far as your body is concerned, if it could talk, it would say that surgery is an automobile accident with drugs added. So we greatly reduce the body's immune function from surgery due to all of the tissue damage as well as all of the drugs involved in the surgery. That means it could take 2 years. It could take 5 years because of wiping out all the good bacteria in your intestines, and we now know the intestines is at least 50% of your immune function, to get back all the immunity you had before the surgery. So you're not actually reducing your risk of getting cancer. In my view, if they were to do a study on this correctly, they would find they're increasing your risk of numerous different immune conditions, including cancer. Well, okay, you understand my reasoning for that and why a lot of the scientists would agree with me, but are you reducing your risk for breast cancer? Well, that's interesting. If you always get termites in a specific portion of your house, and that house happens to be your deck, and so you remove your deck, do you think all the termites in your neighborhood are going to fly to some other part of the county? Or do you think they're going to look for some other food, like the roof joists holding up your roof, or your fence posts, or something else that's outdoors? So all I'm saying is if you remove breast tissue or any other tissue, the tissue you have removed can no longer get cancer. Obviously, it's not connected to a living thing. it is now going for, it's turning into waste. But everything else in the body can still get cancer. And so that person no longer has that particular tissue. Technically, they can still get breast cancer. It can be identified as breast cancer in the tissue underneath where the breasts were. But, a lot of that tissue has been removed. So some other weak point in the body is going to get the cancer. In my view, and in the view of a number of holistic researchers, they have a higher risk of getting cancer because we've hurt their immune system so much with all the drugs and surgery. But they certainly haven't reduced their risk of getting cancer. All they have done, all Angelina Jolie has done, other than a major disservice to the American public by having a whole bunch of people go through surgery which is not going to do what they think it's going to do, and emotionally could cause so much destruction that they might destroy their home, they might destroy their marriage, they certainly will lose their self-image. I mean, it's a horrible thing to do. And it won't reduce your risk of getting cancer, in my eyes and the view of many other professionals, for the reasons I just gave. So I think she's done a huge disservice. I don't, for example, think that if penile cancer was a larger form of cancer, that doesn't happen very often. I don't think the doctors would tell all the men that if they have a risk factor because of that, that was discovered in some kind of DNA testing, that they would get some actor or actress to have his penis removed, not actress, obviously, some actor, and do it on TV so lots of other people would do it. For some reason, disfiguring women in our society, which infuriates me, is much more easily looked at. Hysterectomy, same thing. Go buy some of the books on hysterectomies. No more hysterectomies, the hysterectomy hoax. It is done all the time when it shouldn't be done. So the problem with the DNA testing is only based on the result that it may have. Now, if you tell me that you're going to get a DNA test done, because if it shows you have a higher risk factor for heart disease, you're going to find some good health professional out there to figure out what it is you need to do to reduce that risk in diet and lifestyle, then I'm all for it. If you're going to do it with drugs, then I'm not all for it, because the drug studies are very poor, and often when they reduce the risk of one thing, they don't tell you that they've increased the risk of three others, and your risk of dying is the same. Just like all the horrible research on statin drugs that show statin drugs do more harm than good. And this recording is not on statin drugs. I've got recordings on statin drugs on my website. I've got articles by medical doctors on my website on statin drugs and cholesterol. There's lots of good books on that. Read them. But as far as the DNA testing, it could be a good thing if it was going to help you change your diet, change your lifestyle, and reduce your risk factors. It is not a good thing if it's going to make you remove your breasts or do something else that is not good in many other different ways. It is not a good thing if there's nothing that you think you can do about it, and it's simply going to increase your stress level, because that has been shown to increase cancer risk, heart disease risk, and a number of other different things. So if knowing about it is going to make you more nervous, you're better off not knowing about it. So I realize this is a rather long recording. I think I have covered everything that I want to cover, and I hope that this helps you either make decisions for yourself or those you love.